This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad Kutin, and with me, Julian Ng. And we're going to continue with the business stories, but not before I remind you that Professor Steve Keen, head of the School of Economics, Politics and History from Kingston University, London, is going to be going coming on the Breakfast Grill, and he's going to be speaking to Kusu Chuang about various issues, including the Brexit and whether the European Union is dead in water. He, of course, is a very interesting economist, seen as somebody who has swum against the tide in terms of what establishment economics is saying about the troubles of the world.
Yeah, I think everybody has a view to offer about how to solve the world's woes today. And I think it'd be very refreshing to hear something different.
Yeah, especially because, you know, the question often is the assumptions that economists make when they do their analysis. And he has very different assumptions about the problems we're facing. That's perhaps, you know, kind of one of those discussions where you get to the foundations rather than just talk around the symptoms. So remember, that's after the 8 o'clock news. Now, very quickly, we talked about the US and we talked about Japan. We didn't talk about the Galaxy, but we need to because the Galaxy is so much bigger. Galaxy Note 7 smartphone
going
to be permanently discontinued. Yes, it was not Cosmic Galaxy. Just that little thing you can put in your pocket. And it's been discontinued. Samsung has had such bad news over its exploding batteries.
That's right. This is not going to obviously be good news for somebody like Samsung, whose shares have been really pummeled. And over the past few days, $17 billion has been lost from its market value. And consumers,
$17 billion,
which is nothing
for Samsung,
for a global company like Samsung. But 8% down as a result of $17 billion. Loss, but I think in terms of how much more they can lose from the reputational damage is very serious, I think.
I wonder how many heads are rolling in Samsung over this, you know, fault in their model, their newest model.
You can blame that desire or the need to compete with Apple, which actually pushed them to do things with less than enough rigor. And basically, they whipped out this Galaxy Note 7 just to compete with the iPhone 7 that was going to be released, and therefore resulting in a lot of mistakes being made. Now, of course, Samsung's problem would be the Apple's iPhone's benefit. I'm sure that some of these premium buyers would perhaps turn to iPhone. And I think that this might actually benefit some of the Malaysian companies that are part of the ecosystem of Apple. We have Inari Amiton, Globetronics as well. Some of these Malaysian companies are actually part of that huge Apple global supply chain.
All right. Okay. Interesting fallout from the Samsung Galaxy troubles. Now, turning to our fine feathered friend, we're looking south to the Falcon Private Bank. Their heads are, in fact, rolling. In fact, the bank as a whole has been decapitated from the city-state because of lapses in doing due diligence, and this is brought about by the Monetary Authority of Singapore moved against Falcon yesterday. It's big in the news. It's also precipitated a statement from the Swiss authorities, the Swiss Attorney General, saying that they're going to be looking into Falcon, which after all is Zurich-based.
Yeah. So in Singapore, you have the Monetary Authority of Singapore, or MAS, not the MAS that we usually relate to. Yeah, you can't fly. In fact, you better not fly as far as that mass is concerned, because they don't want money laundering, things like money laundering, which is a criminal offense in Singapore, to happen right under their nose. And by the way, Malaysia as well. It's just not on to do money laundering in either of any jurisdiction around the world. Also, Switzerland has this, the financial authority of Switzerland called FINMA. They've also chimed in on this one, and they're investigating their banks over there, UBS, you know, one of those very big banks, to see whether UBS was as well involved in these shady activities as far as money is concerned. The UBS in Zurich declined to comment on the FINMA proceedings.
You know, what's interesting is that the MAS statement, the Monetary Authority of Singapore, came out and said that Falcon Private Bank did not understand its anti-money laundering regulation. That seems kind of an understatement. Assuming that people in, you know, in this industry know, they might ignore, they might try to evade, then they're unlikely not to understand.
Very interesting quote here from the CEO of Falcon Bank, Walter Brechtel. He says, and I quote, "Falcon was abused and was a little naive on occasion. We will take care to wind down the Singapore branch in an orderly fashion." So,
a little naive. I never think of bankers as being part of the, you know, the sweet and cuddly and the naive.
But, you know, here is the bank's own CEO coming out to say this and to really say, mea culpa, we are going to wind this up.
Well, you know, the other thing, Julian, that I'm thinking about, and the name that keeps popping up every time we have this news, is the name Joe Low, at least how we popularly know him. And where is he? And why isn't he making statements? Because in some ways, much of the story leads back to him, at least in the first instance, right? And he's yet to be apprehended. Do we even know where he is in the world?
I think fugitives usually don't talk about where they are. Right? Don't talk about...
Is he a fugitive officially?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, otherwise you would say something, you would come to defend yourself.
Okay, Malaysian Airlines Berhad, the old MAS, expects to double the number of China passengers, which is interesting because we've come, it seems, a long way from MH370 when our reputation as a nation, never mind the reputation of the national airline, was really in the doldrums with regard to the Chinese public.
And now Malaysian Airlines is saying that, you know, of course, under the new CEO, Peter Bellew, after Christoph Müller resigned, he's saying that China is currently Malaysia Airlines Berhad's largest market, accounting for about 5 to 6% of the airline's capacity. And China is a huge country. The competitive landscape is very much also focused there because AirAsia wants to go big into China as well. And Malaysia Airlines themselves, when we interviewed when I interviewed Christoph Müller, he said that there is no need to pigeonhole these airlines into whether they are a budget airline or a full-service premium airline. And that means it's war, right? Malaysia Airlines will try to make money whenever they can if it means sacrificing their label as a full-service airline. Anyway, it's not a sacrifice because in many parts of the world, many airlines do not pigeonhole themselves into either being a budget airline or a full-service airline.
Does it make a difference to the consumer? Do they need to know? Because when you think of AirAsia, you think budget, you think of Mass, you do think full-service and all that comes with it, right? You know, what terminal you go to, what you can expect on board and such. Do consumers see it the same way?
In fact, the consumers like it.
They like the blurring or they like
the decision? Yeah, they like the blurring. If you know, pricing become innovative, if your product becomes very innovative as a result of this kind of competition, I don't think they care. As long as they pay less for the travels, I think that's what will matter to them. But, you know, going back to Malaysian Airlines, they're pinning a lot of hopes on the Chinese and also at the same time saying that Peter Bellew is saying that Malaysia Airlines does not need additional funding from Khazanah. And that is, of course, good news for the rest of us Malaysians because we have been bailing out Malaysia Airlines for the longest time, right? Decades.
For patriotic reasons, rather than maybe a hope that it will be a money spinner, a revenue earner for the nation and its coffers. Also in the news, Malaysian Airlines teams up with Liverpool Football Club. Is this going to be exciting for Liverpool fans? And what about Manchester United fans who I think overwhelm Liverpool fans in sheer numbers in Malaysia?
I wouldn't be able to speak on behalf of football fans because I'm not one. And I may get a lot of hate saying that. But, you know, these football companies, Liverpool together with Manchester United and Real Madrid and what have you, they are effectively not only sports teams, but they're media companies because they have exposure to so many hundreds of millions of fans across the world. And that kind of benefits, the promotional benefits that come out of it is so staggering. So if your budget allows it, it might not be an idea to get that kind of exposure, as AirAsia has done, getting very fantastic exposure.
Well, so Malaysia has a historic ties to Britain and its a favorite pastime, football. But also, I think we're looking east. Malaysia's biggest postal company, Post Malaysia, is looking to kind of hitch its stars or fortunes to Alibaba. And this is in terms of providing logistics.
So I think this is the future where e-commerce is going to take up a huge part of our economy. Yesterday, we talked about how Bank Negara Governor Dato' Mohamad said that we need new measures to look at the fintech economy. Everybody is moving that direction. And what better plans to do it with than to partner with somebody like Alibaba? I think it's not a bad idea.
And is this also about China as a global player in Malaysia? We had that grill yesterday also, Julian, you did, which has to do with tie-ups, joint ventures between Malaysian firms and China. I mean, just seeing this kind of strategic partnerships available.
That was very interesting when we interviewed MCKIP, which is really based in Kuantan, Malaysia China Kuantan Industrial Park. And its aim was to really exploit the strategic location of the Kuantan port, which also brings together with it all the other related industry, right, transshipment hubs and so on, because Kuantan as a port saves between 1 to 1.5 days over using ports like Port Klang and Singapore. So a very strategic direction, but more so in a bigger scale, this reflects the deepening of the relationship between Malaysia and China as far as business is concerned. And we talked about yesterday briefly how factors like the South China Sea expansionist policy of China, how that would affect business relations in Malaysia. Apparently, everything is A-OK.
Oh, apparently. And, yeah. You can catch that grill with a podcast. So just go to our website and you can look at that podcast. Now, Amazon is also in our crosshairs. Amazon to expand grocery business with new convenience stores. So Amazon going bricks and mortar.
Yeah, they already have a big platform, so it doesn't cost a lot for them to do something extra. So, and other people are kind of zeroing in on this as well, doing groceries. I think Uber wants to go into that as well. So the future is very exciting. And what this all means is that while there are worries about concerns about things like security and privacy and so on, but it means more convenience for us and hopefully at a cheaper price.
Okay, we're going to be coming back after the 8 o'clock news with a grill. And on the grill, a very interesting voice in looking at really a global problem, the economy. Professor Steve Keen, he's the head of the School of Economics, Politics and History at Kingston University, London. He's actually from Australia, but now based in Britain. And he's going to be speaking to Kusu Chuang on the grill. So stay tuned for that after the 8 o'clock news.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.